Thank you so much, Brother Rich. It's good to have Tyler here from college. Just sneak in back there and sit on the back row. He thought he was going to do it. How you doing? Everybody wave at him. He comes to Shelby every once in a while, and then he doesn't come here. I was about to get a hold of him, as he doesn't come around very often, but I'm grateful for him sneaking back in here a little bit. And then Steve and Melissa's visiting us from Minnesota as well. If you remember, they were here for the wedding of Jared and Kristen, and Melissa got saved during that weekend. We're so excited about that. Glad to have them back. They promised they'd be back, and they kept that promise. That's good. I'm very grateful for that. Well, that's Jordan Good to preach for us again this morning. Jordan is doing his internship here with us. He'll be doing some things over the summer as well. I'm very grateful that God brought them here, and last time he preached was just a real encouragement to us. I like to give our college guys some opportunities to preach. I don't want to give them a whole lot of opportunities because some of them can really preach, and that could be a problem for me as a pastor, right? We don't want you to get too used to that, but I'm so grateful for them and their service here and looking forward to the Word of God this morning. So, Brother Jordan.
Well, it's good to be here this morning. If you could turn in your Bibles to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I don't think Pastor needs to be worried about me preaching this morning. My first time ever preaching, if you were there, you would have just been laughing hysterically just because I was stumbling over my message all throughout the message. Everything I said would have been a compliment. So, that was a crazy adventure, my first time ever preaching. But praise the Lord, he works on us, and I hope I'm a little bit better than that this morning. But if you're there in John chapter 21, we'll read verse 25. But first, I just want to praise the Lord for this opportunity this morning to preach his word. I don't take it lightly. I know it's just reading your Bible and seeing all these men of God who preached God's word. And then I have the opportunity to preach his word this morning. So I'm very thankful for that. And I'm glad Pastor had the opportunity to go to, and his wife and the Venezuelans to the wilds. I've never been there. My wife thinks I'm a heathen because I've never been there. Well, hopefully one day I'll be able to go. And I'm thankful for those praises this morning. I just want to praise the Lord for my salvation and for his word. And if you're there in John chapter 21, we'll read just one verse to start off, verse 25. And the Bible says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time that we can enter into your word and that your Holy Spirit can change us. Lord, I pray that we would submit to your Holy Spirit this morning. I pray that you would just use me as a vessel for you, Lord. And I pray that your word would go forth and change our hearts. And I pray this in your name. Amen. This morning, with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "Pick Up the Towel." Pick up the towel. As you notice, there's a towel here, and we'll get to that later throughout the message. But here in this last verse of John, John states something that I've been thinking about for a while. He says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." That's just one of those verses that I'm amazed at. And I just look at it and I'm like, how is that possible? How could that be? You know, obviously Jesus is God, you know, he could do that. But it just still overwhelms me. And I was trying to wrap my mind around that. And you know, it's like instead of picturing a flood, you know, the great flood, picture just a flood of books up to the highest mountain. That's kind of what John's talking about here. And Jesus' earthly ministry, it lasted only 3.5 years. So 3.5 years, all the things that Jesus did. And so how was he so effective? How was he so effective in what he did for those 3.5 years? And I just began to study this verse and to think about it. I began to study the life of Jesus, and I came across this verse, and I just kind of related it to here to John chapter 21 and verse 25. You could turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Here Peter is preaching, and in verse 38, he says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." I want you to notice that phrase, "who went about doing good." He just went about doing good. Everywhere that he went, every place he went to, every person he saw, his main focus was just to do about good. And those words, doing good, has the idea of benefiting others, serving others and their needs. Jesus many times taught his disciples to serve others and get rid of the me mentality. In Mark 9, 33 through 35, Jesus says, "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, 'What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?'" You know, he already knew, but he wanted to teach them something. And verse 34 says, "But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, 'If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all.'" He's telling them, stop wondering who's going to be the greatest and start working to be the lowest servant. In John chapter 13, we find another example of Jesus using a situation to teach the disciples. If you could turn there to John chapter 13. We're going to be kind of all over the place this morning. Pastor said I had, I think, till 10 till, and with the spring forward, I think that gives me like an extra hour or something. We'll see what happens there. But John chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." If you could go down to verse 12, it says, "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, 'Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." You know, verse 14 says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." And right here, it's not talking about, you know, actually washing each other's feet as the main purpose we're supposed to look at, but about serving one another, about being the lowest servant. And that word "ought" there in verse 14 has the idea of obligation. You are obligated to do this. And my main challenge to you this morning is that you must pick up the towel and serve others to be effective in ministry. And ministry is not just, you know, something for, you know, the pastor and for the deacons, but ministry is for the whole church. You know, many places In Paul's writings, he talks about, you know, the whole church doing ministry. And in order to be effective in ministry, I want to see five or seven different points this morning. But point number one, in order to be effective in ministry, you must serve without partiality. Without partiality. If you could go to John 13:2, you're right there. But go to verse 2. We'll read verse 2 and verse 5. It says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." And then verse 5, "After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded." Jesus already knew that Judas was going to betray him. But yet he washed all the disciples' feet, and he was the lowest servant to even Judas Iscariot. He could be known as the worst traitor in all the world. But still, Jesus became a servant to him. Jesus served without partiality. Do you serve others without partiality? Is there someone maybe in your life who you avoid or refuse to serve? You know, everyone at some point has someone in their life who betrays him or her. Now, that's just how the world works. There's good people, there's bad people out there. And everyone has someone in their life who's betrayed them at one point or another. And I think this is one of the hardest aspects for us in service and ministering to others, is serving without partiality. You know, serving our friends is one thing, but serving our enemies is another. It's not only just a good thing to do, but Christ obligates us to serve without partiality. We ought to serve one another. And not serving others is a sin, because God commands it. So if we refuse, that's a sin. So do you serve others without partiality? Point number two, in order to be effective in ministry, you must serve with the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:7 says, "Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power." You know, pastor could come up here and preach every week. You know, Sunday schools can, teachers can teach in their classes every single week, and everyone can do their responsibilities here in the church. But without God's power, we might as well be at home and sleep in. You know, I love sleeping in. You know, I think tomorrow is the only day since like December that I'll actually be able to sleep in, you know, without having, you know, work the night before or waking up early. I'll actually get to sleep in tomorrow because it's spring break. And, you know, that's amazing. But if we come to church and we don't serve with the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't preach with the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, we might as well just sleep in, because we're not going to be effective. In Acts 10:38, the verse we read earlier, it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." Another reason why Jesus was so effective in his ministry was because he had the Holy Ghost. He had power over him. And we also need to have that same power. If you could turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, and we'll read verse 17 and 18 and 28 through 29. Mark 9, verses 17 and 18. "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." If you go to verse 28, it says, "And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You know, the disciples, they were trying to serve in their own power. They didn't go to God in prayer. They weren't fasting. They weren't relying on God's power. And we do this very same thing today. We go to God and we say, why am I not effective? Am I soul winning? Is my Sunday school class not growing spiritually, growing numerically? Why am I not being effective? But have you prayed and fasted lately? Are you relying on God's power? When I traveled in Neighborhood Bible Time, one of the churches, Neighborhood Bible Time is like a VBS. The director of Neighborhood Bible Time calls it VBS on steroids. But that's basically what it is. And they probably have about 40 to 45 of college guys that travel around as evangelists. And a couple years ago, I had the opportunity to travel with Neighborhood Bible Time. And one of the churches I went to was Liberty View Baptist Church in New York City. The pastor is Dave Wilt. Many of you might know him. And if any of you know Dave Wilt, he's a go-getter, he's a hardworking guy, and he doesn't mess around, you know? And he worked us hard that week. But in between the kid rally in the morning and the teen rally at night, we would pass out flyers in the community, and we would, for, you know, 2 or 3 hours. And the first 2 days, we had passed out probably 2,000 to 3,000 flyers just out on the streets of New York City. And then, we had no visitors. You know, the church kids were coming, but we had no visitors from passing out flyers. And we were just talking amongst ourselves and talking to the pastor, and like, man, we haven't seen any visitors so far. Like, what's going on? We've been out every day working hard, and we haven't seen anybody come. There was, just to me alone, there was like 5 or 6 parents with kids that said, you know, we're going to be there, we're going to come. And I'm sure there was other evangelist and pastor and other teens who were there. You know, other people probably said that to them. But we had no visitors for the first couple days. And it was discouraging. And then the next day, we were about to go on a visitation, pass out more flyers in between the rallies. And then pastor, he just decided, you know what? You know, we're trying to do all of this in our power. We're trying to do all we can. You know, instead of going out today, let's just spend a whole hour in prayer. Let's spend a whole hour in prayer. So we prayed individually. We prayed together corporately. And then at the end of the night, we just came together and we sang hymns and just had a good time. And then the next morning, the rally started about 9 o'clock. And we had at least, if I remember correctly, at least 6 visitors that morning for the kids. And 4 of them got saved. You know, we can do all we can in our power. But when we go to God, He can do greatly. He is more effective than we are. You know, sometimes the reason that we're not seeing results or fruit for our labor is because God is waiting for you to rely on Him for His power. You know, that week, God taught me a very important lesson that, you know, I can be this evangelist and go to this church and, you know, preach the messages that I've learned. But if I don't trust in Him, if I don't rely on Him, if I try to do it in my power, I'm not going to be effective. So when you pick up the towel, remember to serve with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then point number 3, in order to be effective in ministry, you must serve on purpose. You must serve on purpose. You know, it doesn't come natural for us to serve others. We have to make a choice, and we have to purpose in our heart that we're going to do it. You know, John 4, we're not going to turn there, but the woman at the well, Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. And he had a purpose for going through Samaria, and that was to see the woman at the well and minister unto her. In Acts 6:1, it says that the first deacons, that they were going to be ministering daily to the people's needs. And 1 Corinthians 16:15 says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That word addicted means to assign. They assigned themselves to the ministry. You know, you can just assign yourself to any ministry to serve others. You don't need to be, you know, called upon to do it and commanded to do it, even though in Scripture we've been commanded to serve. But you can assign yourself to minister to others on purpose. You must choose and pick out opportunities to serve others. Just as Jesus purposed to go through Samaria and serve, you must purpose in your heart to serve others as well. Because it's only natural to serve self. You know, it comes so easy for me to, you know, serve myself, turn on the TV, watch Michigan basketball or whatnot. And that's easy for me to do. But it's not easy for me to get up and do the dishes for my wife. It's not easy to go up and do something for someone else. You have to purpose in your heart to do it. And number four, in order to be effective in ministry, you must serve absent of personal gain and full of pleasing God. Absent of personal gain and full of pleasing God. Matthew 20, 7 through 28 says, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Why do you serve others? Is it for your own benefit? To make you look good, or to have others lift you up? Or is it to benefit others? You know, Christ gave his life for us, for all the world. But what are you willing to give up for others? Are you willing to give up a Saturday? Are you willing to give up, you know, this special thing in your life to serve others? Now, this is a kind of a silly illustration, but I have five siblings, and I was the youngest kid, so, you know, sure, my mom treated me, you know, better than the others. I was the favorite to my mom, but my siblings made up for it because they were evil to me. So, you know, it kind of balances out. So, you know, as kids, you know, we would never help each other out unless we got something out of it. You know, I know we're the carnal kids, you know, but, you know, I'll only do this for you if you do this for me mentality. And we had a mini mart next to our house. It was three or four houses down, the house we were growing up. And so whenever we got, you know, a few bucks from my parents, or maybe for allowance or whatever it was, you know, we couldn't go down there by ourselves alone. So whenever I got, you know, $5, I had to go to my brother and be like, "Hey, can you come with me down there so I can buy something?" And, you know, he would be playing Xbox or something like that. And he would say, "Well, only if you buy me a pop." You know, I said a Southern curse word. I said pop instead of soda. I did that on purpose. And he said, "You know, only if you get me something too." And, you know, he wasn't really serving me or doing me any benefit. He's just like, "Oh, only if you do this for me." And, you know, we were just kids. But how often do we do that as adults? How often do we say, "Well, what's in it for me? What's going to happen for me if I do that for you?" Do you serve absent of personal gain? Ephesians 6, 5 through 7 says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." You know, when we serve others, we should please God in doing so. You know, that word eye service has the idea of, you know, only serving when the master is watching you. You know, the boss is coming, I need to get to work, you know, and do all this stuff because the boss is coming. That's kind of what that word has in mind. But our master is always watching, and we need to be serving to please him. Do you aim to please God with your service or to get approval from others? Galatians 1, verse 10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And then number 5, in order to be effective in ministry, you must serve through persecution. Serve through persecution. 2 Corinthians 6, 3-5 says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Will persecution or trials stop you from serving God? You know, probably the person who has suffered the most and was persecuted the most was Paul. You know, we can say all we can today, you know, knocking on doors is hard. People will, you know, will mock you. People will yell at you, slam the door on your face. But when's the last time that you've been beaten and thrown in jail for Christ? In Acts 16, 22 through 25 says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What if Paul and Silas complained instead of praying? What if they questioned God instead of praising God? They wouldn't have been effective in their ministry. And it says in verse 25 that the prisoners heard them. It made a difference to them. Are you praising God through persecution? Your reaction to a trial is a testimony to the loss of your faith. And what kind of testimony are you giving to them? And number 6, in order to be effective in ministry, you must serve with the philosophy of glorifying God and not self. With the philosophy of glorifying God and not self. In Youth Ministries 1 at Ambassador Baptist College with Pastor Ogle, he says that your philosophy is why you do what you do. Why you do what you do. There is always a reason behind everything you do. You know, no matter what it is, there's a reason why you do something. And the preeminent part of our philosophy of ministry should always be to glorify God. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. You know, I can stand up here and preach and, you know, take the glory, but I wouldn't be being effective if I didn't glorify God. You know, I mentioned before that the first time preaching, I stumbled over everything, and I am being serious. I was horrible. And, you know, after that experience, I always reflected on the passage where the donkey spoke to the prophet. You know, if God can use the donkey, God can use me, amen? And so I always thought of that passage there. And do you serve others in the flesh for your flesh? Or do you serve in the spirit for God's glory? When you minister to others, always ask yourself, will this glorify God? And lastly, in order to be effective in ministry, you must know your place. Most of the times when servant or minister is used, it is in the Greek word diakonos, which we get the word deacon from. But there's another Greek word for servant, and it's doulos, which means a servant or slave. And it has just that idea of being a slave. And if you could turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and we'll read verses 7 through 10. Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. It says, "But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat,' and will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready therewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink?' Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.'" And that word servants is that same word doulos, being a slave. We are unprofitable slaves, and we have done that which is our duty to do. And that's how Jesus is saying to his disciples here, you know, say, we are unprofitable slaves. We have done our duty. You know, I think a lot of times that, you know, when we do something, we say, wow, you know, that was such a great thing you did. But here it's saying, you know, all you've done is done your duty. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Philippians chapter 2. I'll just turn there. You don't have to turn there. But Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, and following, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant," that word doulos, slave, "and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And I love verses 9 through 11 through when you relate it to verses 5 through 8. It says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In answer to the disciples' question, you know, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? I think one answer that Jesus gives is the greatest is the one who humbles himself. You know, there is a saying, the one with the dirtiest towel wins. How dirty is your towel this morning? Are you serving your wife, serving your husband, your kids, your friends, your enemies, people you don't even know? Galatians 5, 13 through 14 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." That's another, that's the verb form of that word doulos, being a slave. But by love, be a slave one to another. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." It says we're to use our Christian liberty to serve others or be a slave to others. Philippians 1:1 says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. That's the same word, doulos, slaves of Jesus Christ. Paul, arguably one of the greatest Christians of the Bible, who wrote a lot of our New Testament, said he was a doulos, a slave for Christ. Jude 1:1 says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." It says Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. It's the same word, Jude, the doulos, slave of Jesus Christ. Jude, who was the half-brother of Jesus, he could have referred to himself, you know, Jude, the brother of Jesus. But instead, he referred to himself as the slave of Christ. You know, we would be much more effective in our ministry, our ministering to others, if we just knew our place as a slave for Christ. Do you have a self mentality, or do you have a slave mentality? You know, in conclusion, we must pick up the towel. When I traveled for Neighborhood Bible Time, there was 3 weeks of training before we started to travel to different churches. And the very first night of training, the director, Brother Kuntz, he preached a message on John 13. You know, he preached through the whole passage. And after that message, he gave all of us a towel just like this. And he told us, you know, when you go to those churches, when you do those rallies, I want you to put this somewhere in your rally. Doesn't matter where, but somewhere in your rally to remind you of why you're there. You're not there to, you know, be this, you know, flashy evangelist and preach the gospel. And that, you know, that's, yeah, you know, bless God, I'm going to preach the gospel. And, you know, that's what I'm here to do. But he wanted us to have the focus of serving others. And to have this to remind us, you know, I'm not here just to preach to these kids and, you know, to be this awesome evangelist, but to be the lowest servant. And in John 13, Jesus took up the towel and washed the disciples' feet, leaving us an example to follow. You know, as he, Jesus, passed through different cities, he went about doing good to others. The disciples, they missed their chance to serve. As they passed the towel, they passed the water in the basin, and they passed the towel, and they sat down, and they missed their opportunity to serve. And as you pass through the doors of this church, don't forget to pick up the towel. As you pass through the doors of work, don't forget to pick up the towel. And as you pass through the doors of your home, don't forget to pick up the towel and serve others. You know, the greatest is the one who humbles himself. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that this message will not only ring in our hearts this morning, but I pray that it would change us into more like you. Lord, I pray that we would always seek to be the greatest servant, which is the lowest servant. Lord, I pray this in your name. Amen.